preached really good, Sammy. Didn't she do really great? How about them kids? Come on, give it up big time for them. I'm so thankful for Samantha giving her life to those kids. And you did preach good. I think we ought to have Samantha on a Thursday night sometime. Talking to the planners of it. Just put her in, okay? Let's make that happen. She said, no, it's too late. It's already done. Praise the Lord. Good to see Donnie Allen here. Are you still here, Donnie, or did you fly out of here somewhere? Where are you? He had to leave. Come and play and leave. What's the matter with the guy? No, I'm just kidding. And Jessica and Josh are home from Ireland today? Hey, we're going to hear about their trip soon. And then this is the first Sunday, and it's been in weeks, that all three of my sons are in church with me. Oh, Ben just blew out of here, too. What is going on here? Well, they were here. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. We lost a precious, precious lady this week. Joanne Biscio went home to be with the Lord. That's Donnie's wife. I wonder if we could just pray for Donnie. A couple of the men up there, John Tosher, would you just get up and lay your hands on Don? A couple of the other men do that, and we just... Father, I pray for the family. I pray for Don today. Lord, we stand together as a house and a family. You said when one hurts, we all hurt. And so, Lord, we share in that. But this morning, God, we thank you for eternal life through Jesus Christ. I thank you that Joanne is no longer in any pain, but that she is with you now. You said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We thank you for that. Now, Lord, we pray for strength on Don's life and the entire family today as you do what you do best. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Love you, Don. God bless you so much. I also had word this week that the Brill family, Micah and Nicole, gave birth to Jordan Violet Brill, 7 pounds, 2 ounces. They are home taking care of that beautiful little baby girl today. Isn't that just a blessing? Such a blessing. I want to say thank you for the privilege to speak God's word in and over your life today. I'm just going to be a few minutes, but I count it an honor to be able to stand here and do that. I said this in the first service. I want to say it again. And I believe that the heart of God was really revealed this morning in praying and ministering to people. If you're dealing with any kind of addiction, don't do it alone. Ask for help. I don't have the answer to everything, but I know the Lord, He does, and I also know people that can help you. Sometimes you need flesh and blood to help walk you through some of these things in your life. You just can't do it on your own, and I don't mean this to sound negative, but I'm a little older now. You can pray on your own, but I need somebody to take by the hand sometime, or to take me by the hand and say, come on, this is the way, walk in it. And we need that help. So let's continually move in that direction, in a healthy direction in that way. There's many opportunities that can help you and I, and if there's children in your home and your family, let's stand together. Let's help one another through that, okay? As I said earlier, 8 Days of Hope, going to be in the city this Tuesday on 4 Watson Street. If you forget that, call the office. If you want to do something, just come on out, connect. That'll be Tuesday. If it rains, it'll be Wednesday. It's a great opportunity to meet a ton of people and shine a big love over on our city. Father, I just want to say thank you today for your grace and the love that you give to us. Pray your help and your blessing on every life here today, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I want to just continue on this thought with you out of summer in the city, and I hope you're enjoying this time of the year. I hope you're getting away and doing some things, and what a beautiful season that we're in. We got some much-needed rain this week, and just helping everything, including the weeds, grow like crazy. But I want to talk to you today about how to see better. And I've been thinking about on this direction over the last few weeks, and these two scriptures, which are really two of my favorite, One is in Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to read that in a moment. And then I'm going to just read something out of Acts chapter 3, and I'll close in just a few moments. But, you know, the power of God wants to help you and I and take you and I to a higher level, to help us see beyond what we can see in our natural eye. Help, sometimes we get so caught up in the minutiae of our everyday life that we fail to see what God is really wanting to do. And Isaiah, God is speaking through him to the children of Israel in Isaiah 55, and I'm going to read 8 through 13. He said, my thoughts pertaining to God. He said, my thoughts, they're not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. He said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, I wish the snow would, praise the Lord, and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Listen, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. This is just saying that when God speaks his words, it's just not mere talk, that there's action behind it. He said, you'll go out with joy, verse 12, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. All the trees of the field, they'll clap their hands, and instead of the thorn bush, it'll grow the juniper. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. I just want to tell you today that no matter what is going on in your life, whether it's good, bad, hard, God's word and his plan will always accomplish where it is sent. God sees things, as he did with Israel, differently than what you and I see them. And his purpose is to take you and I higher. The Bible says in one scripture that we are seated with him in heavenly places. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ, that we can see, that we can understand sometimes what he is trying to say and to show us. I've been sharing out of Joshua chapter 6 for the last couple weeks, and the first verse says, now Jericho is tightly shut up. No one can go in, no one can go out. But then in verse 2, God says to Joshua, I've given it to you. He said, this is what he says first, though. He said, see, I've given it to you. And sometimes we are limited by our own perspective. We observe things, we judge things according to what our intellect perceives. And we not only judge, but then we come to conclusions over particular matters of life that are really not true. We say things and we make up our mind that it must be this way, and there's no relevance of reality to it at all. It's just what we perceive it to be. And sometimes, because of that, we only see what is from our own perspective, whether it's in our family, whether it's in our own personal life, whether it's in a life of a friend or someone else. Sometimes we can stand at a distance. We can make a judgment, and it's just because of that's the way that we perceive things. But God wants to lift you and I up to a higher level. He wants to get you and I to a higher vantage point so we can see with a different view what is going on around us. A few years ago, I learned, as I was taking a coaching class, the phrase balcony time. I just love that. And it refers to, from a natural perspective, that if you have ever had a seat in a balcony, you can see farther and see more than you have ever seen when you sit among the crowd. So many times, what happens to you and I is we get so close to the issue that we can't see from a greater perspective. That's why sometimes you need people in your life that can help you, that can stand back and say, hey, you need to consider this. You need to look at this. Remember when Nathan went to David? And Nathan said to him, what would you do if a man stole this from another man, took something that was precious to him and used it? And David said, oh, I'd summon that man, I'd have that man killed. And because he was right in the mix of it, David looked at him from a distance, from a balcony, and he said, you're the man. You're the one. Your mind is so clouded, you can't even see what's going on in your life. And sometimes we perceive it that way. I've been on a couple cruises in my life. How many of you have been on a cruise ship before in your life? How many of you like going on a cruise? How many of you'd like to leave this week on a cruise somewhere? Wow, a lot of hands going up. I was talking to some people about it, and it just sparked something in my life, and I thought, you know what, maybe it's time for Patty and I to go on another one. I didn't even really talk to her too much about it. I just went and I began to look, see, and I knew a particular time that we could go, and I checked to see if something was available, and I've had friends that have been on cruises, and they said we'd never book a cruise again without getting a room with a balcony. Somebody else said it. That's right. Amen. So I checked. In the cruise, the time that we had, no balcony. So no balcony, sorry, baby, no cruise. Because I want to be on that balcony. I want to get up in the morning. I want to slide that door open. There's nobody around. I want to go sit out there in my shorts with my cup of coffee. Look out. Nobody say anything to me. I got a whole vantage point. I have a whole new view of what's going on. Now, I know some of you right now, you're checking out. You're already on the balcony somewhere. You're on that ship in your mind. But balconies help you see things that you cannot see when you're caught up in the crowd. I've had the opportunity to be to a couple New York City Broadway shows that, I'm not a culture guy. I'm a dairy farmer by nature. You're not, Chris. I am. I love you, man. I've been to those plays, and I've sat there, and people around me, they're crying, they're clapping, they're excited, and I'm just sitting there. Dear Lord, I can't wait till this is over. And I've sat up in the bell. I've tried. I really have tried. It's like golfing for me. I'd rather slide down the edge of a razor blade into a vat of iodine than go play golf. Golf is of the devil. Oh, my dear Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me get back into your word right now. God, help me. So I've been to those plays, and I've been up into the balcony. And the reality of it is I see things that others don't see. And we can reminisce and we could talk about that. And those are times of fun. Those are fun times. But then there's experiences that we've had from the balcony of life that we look at them and they're hard times. But the reality of it, they give you a deeper understanding of what is going on around you. I wish I did not have the balcony experience of being raised in the type of home I was raised in with an abusive alcoholic father. But I know what that is, and if I sit with somebody today that tells me that they're going through that, I can help them with a pathway out of that. I wish I did not have to have a balcony seat to view family members, my mother, a sister, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, and even my wife deal with cancer. I wish I did not have that balcony experience, but I have it, and when I meet with people who are going through that, I can give them hope that I would not be able to if I stayed in that minutia of the situation. You see, you can say, you got a reason to say, this has been hard, I can't come out of that. But you can't argue with somebody that's been there and then God has brought them out of it. And God is speaking through his prophet and he sees not only what's happening in their lives, but he sees what's happening in your life. And I know that God brought somebody here today that is going to touch your life and change you from where you were and lead you into a whole new dimension of your life. Then he's going to take you beyond anything that you could ever imagine. And his plan for you, regardless of what has happened in your life, is beyond anything you can imagine. And I want to read this verse out of Acts 3, and then I'm going to close in just a moment. Acts 3, this is a New Testament verse that gives a real view of somebody that has lived in that crowd. Now the Bible says in verse chapter 3 and verse 1 that Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon, and a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. You got to understand a little bit of the background. If you read Acts chapter 2, you see that's where Pentecost, the power of God, was poured out. Peter, God used them to preach to a crowd of people, and the Bible says 3,000 were saved that day. That'd be quite a meeting, amen? And then the Bible says that really the New Testament church was formed in and around that time, that they began to meet together, break bread together. They had all things in common. And then chapter 3 comes, they were going to the temple, and they've had all this experience. They were going up for prayer, and they meet this man at the gate called Beautiful, who was put there every day. And he was begging for food and for money. In verse 3, when Peter and John were about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked at him, as did John, and Peter said, "Look at us." And the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. And I know it in the King James Version by heart. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give it unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Oh, I love that. And then the Bible says in verse 7, taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. We used to sing this song. I tried to think of it last night, but I couldn't come up with it. Just, he went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, you got to pay extra if you want me to sing the whole song. When the people saw him in verse 9, walking and praising God, they recognized him. This is the same dude that's been laying at the temple gate. And they were filled with wonder and amazement of what had happened. And there's so much about this story that we could see that God takes this man who has been deemed one way, and because somebody saw something from another perspective, they ministered to him. Three things that I'm closing. Number one, people were used to addressing him by his condition, but God saw his purpose. They called him the lame beggar who laid at the gate Beautiful. They recognized him as somebody, here's the same guy, week after week, day after day, the same group of people would carry him in. You know, I just despise when well-meaning people just enable somebody to stay in the same position that God is intending to bring them out of. Amen. You ought to say a better amen than that. And maybe God brought you in here today to bring you and your life to a higher perspective of what is happening in your life. Instead of being so fixated on what's going on right now or even in your past, God is not focused on your past or even the trouble now. He's focused on the purpose for where he has called you to right now, right today. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you are not the same person, and God himself will redefine your life, and he will make all things brand new in your life today. Come on, say amen to that. Number two, power did not come into his body until Peter and John spoke to him and reached out and took his hand. This is so important. They were walking in a faith, in a level that was beyond anything that people has even heard or seen. Everybody else just saw him as a certain individual. They just saw him and labeled him. Patty and I were away a little while ago, and we were walking down the street in a city, and there's this little sandwich shop that we just love to go to if we go there. And as we were going there that day, there was a homeless man laying on the street there, and everybody was walking around him. Everybody was walking over him, went up there, and you stand outside and eat this great sandwich. I'm talking a lot about food today. Everybody's going to be hungry. And I'm standing there eating that, and I'm looking back, and the guy's still laying there. He's out. And I started walking back up the street to leave and walked around him just like everybody else. Man, I was arrested by God. I felt the Lord say, "I want you to stop. I want you to go back. I want you to feed the guy." I said, "Honey, this may be the reason that you and I are here. Don't ever forget that. God, he gives you vacation, but he never takes a vacation in your life." I turned around. I went up to the guy that owns the sandwich. I said, "Do you mind if I buy him something?" He said, "No, we don't want to feed because there'll be a line here. But yeah, you can go." He gave me a sandwich. he didn't even charge me for half of it. I took it over, tapped, the guy was out, rough night, but whatever, I don't know. I said, hey, I got you something to eat. Oh, thank you. I said, can I pray for you? Yes, please pray for me. I prayed for him, spoke the name of Jesus over his life, right then and there. It reminded me that the world just walks by people all the time and has no concern over them. And maybe that's you today. But Peter said, look at us. And when the man gave him his attention, he was expecting maybe they were going to give him money. But Jesus had something totally different. He said, look at us. Peter said, silver and gold, I'm not giving you money today. But the Bible says he took him by the hand. And when he reached out his hand and touched that man, something began to happen in his body. You know, I was thinking about that this morning. When people stand up to the altar at the end of the service, this just isn't a ritual that we do, but I believe with all my heart, when they reach their hand out to touch your hand, if you're struggling with something, if you need prayer for something, when they touch your hand, something changes in your life. God begins to pour out through the power of Jesus what you need right then and there. It begins to change you and I. And then lastly, Andy, come on up to the piano with me. Last, number three, you will see what seemed impossible become possible. I want you to remember that. I want to live like that. I don't want to be held up in this mindset, well, that could never happen. Well, that person's never going to change. They're always going to be that way. They're always going to be a beggar. They're always going to be, you know, just whatever. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to have that mindset about me. I'm so thankful in my life. When I was at the lowest place in my life, somebody believed in me. When no one else around me, people were walking over me and walking around me and say, ah, the kid, he doesn't amount to nothing. He's nobody. I had a man in my life, he just went home to be with the Lord just a few weeks ago, Roger Paddock. Came to the farm. I'll never forget it. I'll remember it was like it was yesterday. He looked into my eyes when I was standing in the milk house, and he said, God has more for you than what you're doing right now. That was like Jesus himself speaking to me. And I stood sharing at his funeral a few weeks ago, one of the largest ones I'd ever done in my life. They had it in the Perry High School. There was nearly 800 people there. And I told people that that was a man that because of the words that he spoke into my life that day, I'm standing here right now. And for some of you, the words that I'm speaking to you right now, it may seem impossible, but you got to believe that with God, all things are possible. When he touched them, the Bible says that strength began to go back into his body. He got up, and then the Bible says he walked, he went running and leaping and praising God. Something happened. And it sounds like that scripture in Isaiah 55 that I started out with. He said, you'll go out with joy. You'll be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills, they'll burst into song before you. And all the trees of the field, they're going to clap their hands for you. Hey, maybe nobody else is going to clap for you. But I'm going to tell you something. When God begins to work in your life, and when you yield your life to him, you don't need other people to clap your hands. You got all of heaven, and the power of God will cause the trees that you walk by to say, come on, baby. You got this. You can do this. Great things are going to happen in your life. You got the world in front of you. The past is behind you. Come on, give God a better praise than that today. Close your eyes, bow your head with me. Prayer people, come on down to the altar. Give your life to him today. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, this is your day. Before you leave today, you come down to the altar. You say to one of these people, I want you to pray with me to receive Jesus. If you're just drowning in darkness today, let God touch your life. Come to the altar before you leave. Let one of these men, one of these ladies, reach out their hand. When they do, strength and power will begin to go into your life. Deliverance will come. Father, I thank you for everyone that is here today. I thank you for the purposes and the plans that you have for their lives today. I pray favor. I pray life. I pray peace. I pray joy. I pray that for some today, when they leave here, the mountains and the hills will break forth before them. All the trees of the field, they will clap their hands. Bless your people in a powerful way today. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our midst. We give you praise and glory for it in the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody, say a big amen. Come on, give the Lord one more praise in his house today. I love you. You need prayer this morning? Come on down. Let these folks pray over you. Go in his great grace today. He loves you so much. Hug somebody. Tell two or three people before you leave. Bless them real good.